This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
You got Corey, Kevin, and Brian Broaddus, and we have Jerry Jones brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. Jerry, how you doing this afternoon?
Yeah, I'm doing great, and say you got Brian Broaddus on there with you?
Yes, sir, I do.
Well, great. All right, Corey, Kevin, good to be on with you guys.
Yes, sir. I'm curious, what are your typical interactions with in conversations like with Robert Kraft? Is it all business, or are there some like good Super Bowl back and forth between the two of you guys?
No, we really we probably have frequented so often this year because of our labor negotiations. And we also are in a pretty active time with our television work. And so I'm running into him quite a bit with our league business. And this is probably has been a pretty inordinate year when it comes to the frequency. And so I see him a lot during that particular period of time. But of course, always, as it is with most owners, get around to talking about our teams and talking about the issues that are involved relative to the league as to our teams. And so, really, it's pretty informative. One of the things that Roger Goodell has done is created a very transparent, this is a positive, it's a very transparent situation for the league. And I would say that collectively, this ownership group that owns these teams right now are the most aware, the most engaged, the most active ownership group that I've ever been associated with since my time in the NFL.
Now, the things that you just mentioned, the TV contracts potentially and the collective bargaining agreement, obviously there could be some tie-ins. I'm curious, do you guys start talking with the networks, or do you know if y'all start talking with the networks about what would the package look like if we went to 17 games, or do you have to wait until that would all get cleared with a collective bargaining agreement before even having such conversations?
No, to be doing the job, I'm not even going to say right, but to do the job, you've got to creatively be looking ahead. We have a really top group of people that are our staff that led by Brian Broaddus and Brian Rolapp. But Broaddus might make a good TV executive too. But,
thanks, sir.
Bottom line is Brian Rolapp leads that group, and it's continually looking for creative ways. We have so many ways that our fans view our games and view our programming and the way we coordinate that with the different partners we've got that present the game. So that's a 365-day-a-year, 24-hour-a-day almost job. And it's just continually, it just never stops as far as how we might work in something as new as a more schedule, more games, more playoff games, that kind of thing. But that's something that, frankly, we've been bantering around and talking about for years.
Right. Well, I'm hoping you can help me out with one other league-based question. I have no idea what the answer to this is. Unfortunately, there has been more carryover from the Myles Garrett, Mason Rudolph thing. Do you know, does the NFL have a specific disciplinary mechanism in place if for words on the field or for racial slurs on the field? And if they don't, should they? Because I honestly don't know the answer to that.
The answer is yes. And we're all a part of the way things have evolved about sensitivity in the workplace. The competition and out on that field is no exception. And while players and coaches and everybody are frankly have a more passionate way of expressing themselves. And I would say that as compared to other workplaces. And it has to do with the physicality of it. It has to do with the competition. But even with that, there's no tolerance for a serious misplaced slur.
We got Jerry Jones on with us on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Jerry, you know that everybody that plays the Cowboys, they generate a little extra juice simply because of the Cowboys brand. They get excited to play the Cowboys. The Patriots have kind of created a similar vibe in that a lot of people want to defeat them. Do you feel any extra juice heading up to New England? Do you feel that energy already about what it's like? And when do you start getting really excited about a game?
Well, I have never, ever, at any point in my life, had been impacted, whether it was as a player, whether it's as a fan, whether it's as owning the Dallas Cowboys. I've never been impacted, not been impacted by the gravity of the game. And we call those big games. We call those, we even talk about it sometime when we're talking and officiating, and we're saying, we need to officiate this game like it were a Super Bowl. What does that mean? Well, I don't want to get into the detail of what it all might mean, but it means that it's got a higher edge to it. It's got a higher degree of just sheer intensity. And for us, because we're playing such a team that we really not only respect, as everyone does, but also for where it places us in every way you can calculate success. This is a very intense game, and we should play accordingly. The critics would say you ought to play like that every snap. You ought to play like that every play. I think you do. But I remember when I was in college, and you'd have games that we played Texas, and we played them when we were in the top 10. They were number one. And I mean, a 2-yard run would seem like a 25-yard run in a normal football game. But when you made that against Texas and you moved the chains, got that first down, it just was an air of you were competing at the highest level. And I think that'll be the way it'll be out there. Although this is pro football, and boy, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. That'll be a high intense game out here Sunday.
And that's why we're looking forward to it. Now, we were talking about this earlier this week, Jerry. Michael Irvin was a wonderful hype man. He was the heart and soul of those Super Bowl teams. And I bet you got a bunch of chills whenever you heard him give pregame speeches and get everybody going. For this Cowboys team, you've kind of seen the hype man rotate a little bit. Who do you think, who's the guy for you that when you talk about your Cowboys team that is the hype man for this team?
Well, I'm going to answer your question. We've got guys that, of course, you have to be one of those individuals that deliver. It can't just be verbiage. It just can't be something you articulate. It's got to come from somebody that you know has paid the price, will pay the price, and he's calling on you because you know you can count on him. But I remember when you talk about Michael Irvin, I was visiting with him one time, and he said, when I'm in the huddle and I look over there and I say, man, to a young player, let's say, I want you to go across that middle and I don't want you to blink. I'm counting on you to make this play. I'm counting on you to clear out or make the catch. He said to me, Michael did to me, you know, Jerry, that doesn't start in the huddle. That doesn't start at practice. That might have started when he was a rookie. And he might have been asked to go home and speak at the Rotary Club. And I'll say to him, would you like for me to go with you down there? And I might even say a word as well. And when the young player visited his hometown, and he said, I start investing in my teammates long before I call on them against the New York Giants to go across the middle. And I'm there, and I look over at him, and I say, have I ever let you down? Don't you let me down. Don't you let us down. Get across that middle. Now, man, that's leadership, and that rises above even, in some cases, as to the impact of it, that rises above coaching. But that's not just locker room stuff. That's what has gone into the relationship long before you get up in that locker room and are passionate.
Awesome. I was hoping there would be a Michael Irvin story there. It really was. Can you, in terms of the current Dallas Cowboys roster, can you give us any update about the setback to Leighton Vander Esch? There were concerns about his neck going into the draft. Is there any thought that this could be a long-term issue?
Well, I think that it's symptomatic of what was talked about in the draft. He's a we brag about his length, his height, his range, his wingspan, if you will. We brag about that, and he plays a what we call a space impact position. Space impact. That's where you get a run and start. Safeties do that. Tight ends do that. Linebackers do that. And they have good collisions. And when you do all of that, then how you put together, there's wear and tear on it. And certainly that's what you look at when you look at a rangy player. And so that I don't see anything here that we might not have anticipated. And I see something here that does not come to my mind as a as problematic long term.
Jerry, in 2000, you had Troy in his final season. You had, I believe, Randall Cunningham, Clint Sterner, Anthony Wright on that roster. And at pick number 180, you took Mario Edwards, the cornerback. Was there ever a consideration for taking a Michigan quarterback named Tom Brady at that time?
No, and I think we all can look back and look at that. That's why I decided to learn from that mistake and take Dak Prescott with my second pick in the fourth round.
Because that could be our Tom Brady?
That's the whole point.
I know. I was
obviously,
just...
obviously, if we'd known Tom Brady was Tom Brady, he wouldn't have slid past that pick. And certainly, had we known Dak Prescott was Dak Prescott, we wouldn't have waited to the second pick in the fourth round. Our second pick in the fourth round.
His quarterback...
No, I didn't see one of those guys coming at the level they're playing.
Is quarterback a really difficult position to scout and figure out what their projection should be?
Well, you know, they all are difficult because of for many reasons, but they're sure difficult for trying to look what's inside an individual, not only where he is with his with his work ethic, not only where he is with his conscientiousness, but where he is with his competes, where how he pictures himself, what place does he have for him in the order of things. I'm talking about him or himself. And some guys have a much bigger picture than you might think they have, and those guys, and that's a good trait to have. I think I will say this: Dak Prescott, for instance, he had real noteworthiness relative to what was inside him. I know when we were down at the Senior Bowl, the opposing coaches were visiting with our coaches, and they thought the best quarterback on the field was Dak Prescott.
Wow.
He did get the most valuable player down there, too. And, of course, Wentz was on our side of the field. But the point is that what's inside is the factor that's hard to get. You tell me, for instance, this is getting away from football, but you tell me how to walk in a business graduate school class at some school and walk in there and pick out your millionaires by some kind of test. Or pick out who's going to do that, and so it's hard to measure what's inside. That's a big part of that position.
I'm going to try to figure out a way to do that test and attach myself to all of those people immediately.
Well, I don't know that tests get the job done. Some of the most successful people I've ever known couldn't pass the test. But yet, for whatever the reason, there was a part of them that made them excel and made them go beyond the norm. Matter of fact, they might have rewritten some books about what ought to be on the test.
Now, both Corey and myself, when we started after graduating from college, we covered a lot of high school football. And I'm curious, what does it mean to you to consistently have the Texas High School Playoffs in AT&T Stadium about this time every year?
Well, it is a privilege. And it's especially because it is Texas high school football. I don't know that I'm prouder of anything than our lineage relative to Texas football. And, of course, to me, that's the mental picture I get when I think of Texas and football in Texas is the high school football part of it. I had the privilege last night of being out there and watching a game that one of my grandsons was playing in. And he played for Island Park, and it was an outstanding game. And I got to sit right there and just, again, pinch myself and say, I just can't believe that I'm getting to sit here. It's too much. Texas high school football, sitting here in this stadium and watching Paxton Alexander's Charlotte son out there playing for Island Park. It's quite a thrill. When we made our Super Bowl pitch, to have our Super Bowl there in North Texas, the thing that we built the whole presentation around was just how important and how the idea of football is more than a first down in Texas. And I have kids come up to me, and they're not kids. They're 60-year-old kids that used to sit with their dads out at stadiums or sit in practice fields during tour days, and they'd be females. Texas football is just a part of the ethos of a lot of Texas.
I couldn't agree with that last part anymore. Thank you so much, Jerry, and we look forward with talking to you again next week.
You bet, guys. Enjoy being on with you.
Yes, sir. Bye, Jerry.
Jerry Jones brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. Coming up next, we continue our football power hour with Brian Broaddus. And
so
perhaps
you got Brian Broaddus on there with you?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. Hey, Broaddus, you doing all right over there?
Perhaps we mix in Mickey Spagnuolo as well. We'll do all of that next right here in your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.